You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved in the program this morning, we'd love to have you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Use that number wisely. Don't waste your time or ours. man, it's the dominoes are starting to fall in regarding the Epstein files. You know, there were 3 million more documents released a couple weeks ago. Still more that have not been released, but why quibble over the facts or over the law or over deadlines? The problem now is that other countries are really starting to follow up on this
right.
and make some moves to hold people responsible, whereas here in the U.S., we're doing our best to just cover up and deflect and, again, just protect people who really deserve no protection. But now things are happening across. We have some new people that are resigning, whose careers are being impacted.
Yeah.
And Jamie, the biggest one today, this was breaking overnight
yes.
from across the pond in the UK.
Was anybody surprised by this, though, just based
no.
on the information we've previously had in this particular
case?
No,
but case? What I am surprised by is the charges.
Yes.
So we're talking about former Prince Andrew
yep.
of Prince, now just Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. He was arrested overnight. Our
right.
time.
Yes. It's on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Because remember, his role or anything that took place with his name in it in the Epstein files is when he was actually still titled Prince Andrew, right?
Correct.
So
Correct.
He was arrested by the Thames Valley Police this morning. At least 6 unmarked police cars arrived at Wood Farm. What a bad way to spend your birthday. It's his
yeah.
66th birthday today.
Happy birthday, brother.
His arrest.
Here's a warrant.
And in this case,
we got you handcuffs.
And in this case, if any of the allegations in the Epstein files are true, it is probably best that that is where Prince Andrew might be.
Of course,
this is all through the investigation by the Thames Valley Police over whether he shared confidential information with the late Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew has consistently denied all claims made against him in relation to Epstein. But I guess if the local police have even started investigating and have found the ties and your name shows up that many times in a file,
yeah.
then you're probably going to have to answer some questions, right?
Yeah. And again, this is about sharing information. This is not
mm-hmm.
about at this point. He was arrested because of alleged sharing
yep.
of confidential information. So that's the part that surprised me. We'll see if more things come out or if these charges even hold water. We don't know yet. But, the prince has said that, or the king, rather, he's the king now.
Yes, King Charles.
Has said that he stripped the title and they are all about getting to the bottom of this.
It's interesting to me how quickly the royal family acted once there was greater suspicion, which also tells me that there might be some truth in this, right? Because they were very quick. All of a sudden, Prince Andrew, we don't see him. He doesn't come out of his room. We're going to take away his title. We're going to move him over into the property far away from the rest of us. And that is just where he is going to dwell. And so it kind of, you know, if I'm a betting person, it tells me that there's maybe a little meat on the bone just based on how they reacted and public perception, of course. Nobody wants
I think the royals have their own challenges and they don't need one
right.
more thing piled on top from some ancillary
right.
family member. So at that point, it's just cut. Go.
Yeah.
Put them out of here. We don't need this hassle in our life. We will cooperate with all the investigations. We will make sure that it comes to light.
Right.
But we don't want anything casting a light on us.
We're going to pretend this isn't happening, and we want him over there far separated from the rest of us. Now, he's not the only domino to fall. Now, the arrest of Andrew this morning was probably one of the biggest moves we've seen since these 3 million files have been released, or however many.
There's no arrest happening over here, Jane.
There's not. Well, we would actually have to think that anything in the Epstein files was true in order for that to happen. But interestingly enough, a tie back to Andrew, his former wife, Sarah Ferguson. Remember Duchess Fergie? We all loved her. She did the Weight Watcher commercials at one point, too. Her charity is actually shut down after the email showed that she stayed in contact with Epstein after his conviction. It's not looking great for the royal family right now.
It's not looking great for so many people.
No. And the list that the people that we're going to talk about to some degree this morning, let's be clear, these are just allegations, but this is just a small portion of the people around the globe being affected by these files. Peter Attia, who is a physician and longevity expert, stepped down from his advisory roles after emails showed friendly and crude correspondence with Epstein. He has apologized and denied any wrongdoing. Well, if there's no wrongdoing, why are we apologizing? Your name was in the files. Maybe I'm parsing my words too much. Lawrence Summers, who was the former U.S. Treasury Secretary and Harvard president, he had to step back from public roles after there were revelations of a long relationship with not only Jeffrey Epstein, but Ghislaine Maxwell. The former British ambassador to the U.S., Peter Mandelson, has resigned from the Labour Party and House of Lords in the middle of all of these investigations. And let me be clear, it's also affecting some of the Democrats' names that, you know, you might recognize. George J. Mitchell, who is a former senator, he's resigned from all honorary roles after being mentioned hundreds of times in the files. Wow. And Kathy Ruemmler, who was a Goldman Sachs chief legal officer and a former Obama White House counsel, has announced she's going to step down from her role. And then there's this name, Casey Wasserman, and you might have heard it. He's selling selling his talent agency after there were emails with Ghislaine Maxwell in this 3 million file dump that we now have.
Yeah, this is not, and that's that always takes the bullets out of some of these Republican protectors and say, well, would you want them released if there's Democrats in there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because 95% of us really cannot stomach the thought of what is being alleged happened or what is documented that happened on that island. And if you're part of it, I don't care who you are.
This isn't partisan.
You got to go.
None of this is partisan. It shouldn't be. Yeah.
This is cut and dry a legal matter.
Right.
But there is no cut and dry with this administration, especially when the head of the administration, and I don't have to say allegedly, he is mentioned in these files
thousands of times. Yes. Yeah. You know, and the more that comes out in these Epstein files, the worse it gets. And you know, again, not any of this has been proven, but even if a small portion of it turns out to be true, this would be one of the most disturbing and one of the largest crime networks of many of our lifetimes. I mean, this is peanuts in compared to what we've seen on many, many levels in other political realms. And this isn't going to be just, let's be clear as well, this isn't just politicians. We are also talking some of your favorite business leaders.
Actors,
yes, it is.
Yeah, everybody.
I mean, and the list goes on, right? There's criminal investigations happening right now in the NFL. They're reviewing communications between New York Giants co-owner Steve Tisch and Epstein. And one of the biggest scandals right now tied into the Epstein files is Les Wexner. Now, if you were a young girl, if you're a woman who grew up in the 90s, you're going to know all of his brands because he made his billions on The Limited, Victoria's Secret, Pink, Bath & Body Works, and Abercrombie & Fitch. He has told Congress, he's mentioned so often and so closely to Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell that he had to write this letter to Congress telling them that he had no knowledge of the crimes. He says he was conned and he gave Epstein power of attorney and major financial control in the past. But I don't know him. I was conned.
Yeah. I was conned. Really? All right.
I don't know.
And listen, people get conned. That part, there's a lot of Ponzi out there, a lot of schemes that are happening. People get conned, but
I can't imagine.
Come on. This is powerful people. And Epstein may have been a con,
sure,
a really good con artist. And he had Ghislaine with him. And, you know, there's a lot here. But the problem is we're not investigating it.
Right.
We could get to the bottom of this. The Justice Department could find out, are some of these people, were they targets of Epstein as opposed to just friends or people who were going along with what was going on
the island?
Gotta
think the blackmail happening in the Epstein universe was vast as well. We have a text coming in this morning from we don't have a name attached to this one, so thank you if you're a newer texter. They say one goat can protect a herd or group of monkeys from predators. Get you thinking this morning, doesn't it?
Who is the goat? Would it be Pam Bondi? Is she the goat?
Oh, I don't know.
Caroline Leavitt, we know, is a goat.
Well, she's going to tell everybody that there's nothing to see here, which is what she's been doing at the podium for months now.
Very good.
Right?
She's good at her job, I guess.
She is. She is. And she says it with a smile to the point where you think that she's not slicing you all at the same time, which is even scarier. Now, last week, right here on this program, as we mentioned a little bit about the early start of the fallout from the Epstein files, we had kind of ruminated on the fact that we were probably going to see more action from Europe right away, because it seems like they were a little bit more on top of this, taking some of these allegations a little bit more seriously. And that's starting to hold true. Obviously, we talked about the arrest of Andrew, former prince, this morning. Now, France has also launched major new investigations into human trafficking and some of these financial crimes that have been connected to Epstein. And what they're showing is that some of these newly released files, plus complaints from child protection groups, and they are really looking right now at human trafficking and some of the financial crimes, including the money laundering, the corruption, and the tax fraud that was also that is also alleged in the files right now.
I think that's where they're going to end up getting more people.
Yes,
with these financial
crimes,
and it goes all the way back to Al Capone.
Yes,
right? So we're going to because unfortunately, people don't believe victims. And so it's going to be much easier to prove financial crimes, because numbers are numbers, and the math, sometimes it ain't mathin'.
No, it's not.
So that's where the convictions will come, I believe.
And I think it's important to remember, if you want to watch news happening overseas, that France is a really key location in all of this, because Epstein owned luxury apartments in Paris and frequently visited the country. Now, there was a previous French investigation that actually closed 3 years ago after a key associate of Epstein died in prison. It's funny how we've seen that story play out before.
Are there quotes in died around died again?
No, it's just he died in prison. We don't really know much about it right now. But prosecutors say that this new probe will be massive and complex. They call it Titanic work. And it's also interesting because we found out yesterday that a UN Human Rights Council panel has suggested that all of these files point to this possible global criminal enterprise. Tied to Epstein's network. And experts at the UN say that some of these crimes could meet the threshold for crimes against humanity, describing it as systematic abuse and exploitation of women and girls. They want a global independent investigation at the UN. So it's going to be interesting to me to see how long this administration can hold out saying, we don't know anything, it's fine, we did what we needed to, because the rest of the world is not saying that.
Well, they're going to go down with the ship, because they're not going to admit anything.
No.
That's not happening.
No, of course. That's kind of how they've always operated. 6:19 right now, you're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Governor Evers wants to join the World Health Organization Alert Network. One candidate, he's going to vote against it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Really?
It's 6:22 right now.
Wow. Wow, coming off our last conversation to go into teenage wasteland.
I was not prepared for that.
We're talking about the Who.
We
are talking about the Who. They had a lot of songs other than Teenage Rape. We're coming out with a dog dying. Look up Casey Kasem, Park. Wow. Okay.
I'm just
a little shocked.
It's all right. It's 6:23 right now. Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
I'm not going to tell you who I am because I can't be associated with what just happened. But I will tell you, if you want to get involved in the program, and if you're as shocked as I am, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And yes, in very remote reaches, we are going to talk about The Who, but not Roger Daltrey, Pete Townsend, John Entwistle, and Keith Moon. We are talking about the World Health Organization and their Disease Alert Network, because the other night in the State of the State, Governor Evers said that he plans to have Wisconsin join that global outbreak alert and response network because he wants Wisconsin to have the ability to detect and respond to disease outbreaks. That sounds very well-intentioned. Sounds like a good idea.
Right.
Other states are doing it. And, you know, the fact that the U.S. has pulled out of the World Health Organization is crazy, in my opinion. But so the governor wants to do this. I think it's great. But, Jamie, no surprise, one of our Republican gubernatorial candidates who has the blessing from above from dear leader.
That's right.
He's not happy about
this. No, he's not. Tom Tiffany, of course, is who we're talking about. Let's be clear. This network shares early warnings, data, and expertise among more than 360 public health institutions around the world. So they kind of know a thing or two, right? They know how to keep us healthy. They know how to keep us safe.
Do you want to believe science or your own feelings?
Well, I guess in this case, we're going to believe our own feelings. And other states like California, Illinois, and New York have already agreed to join this World Health Organization Global Outbreak Alert and Response Network. So Governor Evers just wants to join them and basically, you know, try to make sure that if there is something like another pandemic down the road, we have science leading the way instead of, you know, what we might feel like is happening. The decision, though, is obviously political, because Tom Tiffany says that he would remove Wisconsin from the network if elected. Democrats say the partnership is a science-based step to keep residents safe and prepared for future health threats. Now, here's what Tom Tiffany had to say on X yesterday.
I'm reacting in advance because I read it.
I know. I'm trying to get through it because it's just so, it's not very long, but it's so riddled with inaccuracies and false information. Tom Tiffany
says, why would you expect anything else?
I know. I guess maybe it's the Pollyanna and me hoping for better minds at some point. Tom Tiffany says, quote, I will immediately remove Wisconsin from any World Health Organization network during COVID. The WHO acted as a puppet for communist China. I led the fight in Congress against the WHO pandemic treaty and will always defend Wisconsin and America's sovereignty.
What does sovereignty have to do with it? This is a worldwide cooperative effort to fight diseases. Sovereignty? Are you insane?
Yes, they are insane. This is insane talk.
It is. And how are you defending Wisconsin by cutting off information?
Because
you didn't want to wear a mask because somebody got upset that you couldn't go to church on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Please, can we go back and just show these people file footage of the temporary morgues and the piles of bodies? And were we inconvenienced? Yes, we were all inconvenienced. Did it suck? Yes, it did. Did it harm some businesses? Yes, it did. It was a disease we had no control over. And if you're still arguing that point, listen, go to med school, become an expert in diseases, but don't come at me because you went on Google and you think you know what you're talking about because you have zero idea.
Absolutely. I mean, that's essentially what this is. John from Oshkosh listening on WISS this morning says, heaven forbid we have leaders looking out for other safety, the outrage. Couldn't agree more. And let's be clear, as of February, Wisconsin health officials have confirmed multiple measles cases tied to international travel, which is a reminder that diseases don't respect the borders. And just because you say that they don't exist and you don't want the science behind them doesn't mean that they actually don't harm people.
And yeah, Tom Tiffany, talk to measles about your sovereignty.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they will stop at the border.
Right.
Just maybe they'll stay in Canada or in Mexico, but they won't come here because you're sovereign.
And when I start hearing our world leaders, the people who are supposed to be helping, I mean, I don't want to say take care of us because we need to do that ourselves, but they're supposed to be helping protect our safety, right? Like that's
right.
That's
and
what
you and I aren't virologists.
No.
We're supposed to take care of ourselves to a point.
Yes.
Then there's other people who are experts in this, who've studied this, who've devoted their lives to trying to figure out how to stop this. And they're the ones who are giving us the warnings. If we are too ignorant to heed those warnings, then that's back on us.
When did we start agreeing that science was not fact-based? When did we quit? That's what I keep going back to, because I want people to tell me the facts.
It started with vaccines well before the pandemic, because people like Jenny McCarthy and all the alleged ties that have been debunked time and time again. And, the vaccines cause autism. No, they don't.
No.
That's been studied. We don't want to wear a mask, so all the science is fake. Well, the information you gave us yesterday is not the same information you're giving us today.
Because it changes. Because it's science.
Jamie, again, facts.
I know,
and
it's
logic
hard. For a lot of people.
Have no place in these arguments.
I mean, right now we're watching this presidential administration dismantle public health infrastructures. They're questioning vaccines, they're downplaying data. We need leaders focused on prevention and preparedness and science. So, I mean, make your choices wisely.
Drink whole milk, unless you talk to like Pam Yonke, who says, no, whole milk is bad. But any actual ag person goes, No, need some pasteurized milk.
No, and that's work out your jeans, better. Just like RFK. 6:29 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and the Trumps are trying to make money on their name again.
Big surprise. Civic Media Morning. 6:35 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you're listening in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tap or in Wausau on WXCO, if you're in the Appleton Oshkosh area listening on WISS, thank you so much for having us on this morning. We're going to have a chance for you to qualify for some State Fair concert tickets next hour. So be listening for your chance to text in and win. Win them before you can buy them
Oh, that's the best.
Right? Yeah. So
rub it in your friends' faces. Ha ha.
Be listening for the word of the hour next hour. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get in on the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can listen on the app. And as Jamie said, listen on the app. Go to YouTube if you want to stream the show and see what we look like and hear fascinating conversations during the break.
Show behind the show.
There was a lot of talk about dirt rain. You'll have to, how do we learn about dirt rain? Well, listen, go to the stream. Oh, my goodness. We know that there nothing Donald Trump likes more than, there's a couple things probably. But one of is putting his name on stuff.
He
wants his name on everything. It's a central argument in one of the one of the statewide races here in Illinois regarding the Trump Tower and the big name and who allowed that to happen. We see it all the time. He loves monuments to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now there is a bill in Florida, and lawmakers are advancing this to rename the Palm Beach International Airport as President Donald J. Trump International Airport. It passed the Florida House, 8130, now heads to the Senate, and then goes to Ron DeSantis. Now, that in itself is just another eye roll. Like, oh my God, seriously, dude? We get it. You have very small parts that you need to overcompensate.
You're
for.
The
we
president.
Get
we get
yes.
it.
you're already the most powerful guy on the planet.
Sure.
Seriously, you need to name that. Well, all my friends fly into Palm Beach when they're coming to Mar-a-Lago. Mm. Okay, that's fine. You know, whatever. If you need your ego stroked that badly,
we get it.
This is not an issue. But the issue becomes, as we have talked about here and has been talked about all over, The Trump family is really, really benefiting from this term in office. Up to $1 billion so far. And now they're, Jamie, they're trying to make sure that any time the president's whims are met and things are named after him, they will continue to enrich themselves.
They will, because at the same time this vote is happening, the Trump Organization filed trademarks for Donald J. Trump International Airport, President Donald J. Trump International Airport, and DJT, which has raised a lot of concerns among lawmakers. So some Democrats say that the trademark filings DJT. Could open the door for the Trump family to profit from branding or merchandise tied to the airport name, like they haven't already done this. And we actually will go through some of the other things they've done while in office.
Please do.
One lawmaker even reversed his support for the renaming in Florida and tried to add an amendment blocking any profit to this particular legislation, but that effort failed. Now, of course, the Trump Organization is saying that the family would not receive royalties or licensing fees from the airport name itself and would provide the branding at absolutely no cost. Remember, they've made over $1 billion in just the last year. However, the organization has not clarified whether it would profit from merchandise linked to that trademark.
Oh, right. I see.
Yeah, there's always little caveats, right?
Like so, the gift shop he has in the Oval Office?
Yes, yes. So trademark experts say that these filings are obviously unusual because airports named after past presidents typically didn't involve any sort of private trademark ownership. Applications cover a wide range of potential products and services, meaning the name could be potentially licensed for merchandise. Get your DJT International Airport t-shirt right here. I can see it now.
Oh, and you know what? Unfortunately, I can. I can see the same people whose MAGA hats have worn out going, I need me a DJT International Airport shirt. That, honey, I know we don't have money to pay the rent, but let's get on a flight and go into DJT Airport because I want to get a new Sunday go to meeting shirt.
Only $45.99, and that T-shirt can be yours. So
he deserves it though, Jamie. So, don't please don't make fun of the price. I would pay any price to support my president. He is the bestest man on the planet. So if I have to get some long johns with a flyaway bottom with the president's face right there, I would do it. And I will support that man. And I will proudly own the libs.
Sadly, I can't argue with a thing that you just said. So supporters say trademarks can also could be used simply to prevent misuse of a name. Trump has floated renaming other transportation hubs like Washington Dulles International Airport, New York's Penn Station after himself, which could create confusion if multiple airports end up sharing the same name. Now, here's
every airport code, instead of like MDW or MDS, it's all going to be DJT.
DJT.
And air traffic controllers are going to go,
what?
Okay, which one? Ladies and gentlemen, Friday there, DJT. Yeah, I'm supposed to be going to Cleveland. This is Akron.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's DJT.
It's all
We're
DJT.
All going to DJT.
We all live in DJT. So here's what Caroline Leavitt actually had to say during Tuesday's daily press briefing. Cut one, please.
Why not?
There you
go. So,
have it.
Are you going to answer any of those questions?
Well, no,
Caroline?
We don't actually answer the questions. That's not what we actually do.
I think the answer to her first question is easy. Why not? No, why?
Why? Why? It should be the continuing question out of reporter's mouth. Now, we mentioned it a few minutes ago, but I'm going to repeat this because reports estimate that Trump has made and the family has made at least $1.4 billion in personal profit. That's billion with a B, by the way, since returning to office in 2025. So I found this fascinating because as this news was coming out yesterday about this trademark, Don Jr. and Eric were on CNBC doing an interview and they were asked specifically about the family's conflict of interest. Here's what he had to say. Cut two, please.
Well, don't put words in our mouth, Don, but, you know, whatever. Who's the they? Is it
the family? The family in general.
No. Who's the they that tried to put them?
I believe that would be
the mythical Democrats.
I think so. I think
the all powerful Democrats.
He's referring to the Democrats, and he's referring to anybody who basically disagrees with the family and their ability to make money as the first family of the United States. I also think it's a little, the irony here is really thick with Don Jr.'s comments, right? Because this family has spent years attacking the Biden crime family over trading on a famous name. And now critics are saying that the Trump family is doing the same thing on a much larger scale. Well, they just want us to curl up and die. No, what are we?
My head spins because there's no counter argument to them, no matter how many facts are presented, no matter how many numbers are presented, nothing sticks to them. They will deflect, they deny, and go on the counterattack and argue, as we learned yesterday when we were talking about the affordability and things, argue in the alternative.
Yes.
That's a legal term. So they don't argue to defend themselves, they argue against other people.
Absolutely.
So because there is no defense. That's the thing. They have no defense.
No,
and
absolutely.
Yet they keep talking.
And here we are.
Len from Madison texted in, and you can too at 855-75-CIVIC. How about Trump bathroom tissue with his face on every sheet? I think that's out there already. He could make another fortune, a real wipeout.
Ooh, puns for days. I love it. Thank you so much,
Len.
No, I think it is interesting, though, that this is not the first time, as a lot of us are aware, that this family and the administration have benefited. So just a little reminder of some of the profit-making ventures, we'll call them, that this family has had. This is just, we're going to start with the current term. A large share of the wealth is tied to cryptocurrency ventures, estimated at about $867 million. His company has also pursued more than 20 international real estate licensing projects, including a $1.5 billion golf project in Vietnam that started shortly before the tariffs on that country were lowered. There's also been major media and business deals, including $28 million paid by Amazon for that Melania Trump documentary, and more than $90 million in legal settlements from tech and media companies after his re-election. Qatar also gifted a $400 million jet intended for presidential use.
And wait a minute. Let's not lump that in. Do you expect him to just fly around in his own plane that Obama used?
Oh, I can't imagine that the plane that was set for presidents for many years and is secure and has everything you need in it. It's basically like its own little flying condo, but it wasn't gold laden. So I understand where the consternation came.
I think I saw that they're repainting it, actually.
Are they?
I think they are.
Gold? Okay.
I haven't seen what
his
design
favorite
is,
colors.
But
it
I'm sure it'll
said
be
his
gold.
Favorite colors. Yes. You
Which are
correct,
what? Do we know what his favorite colors are?
Just gold.
Okay.
Green and gold.
Green and gold. All right.
Green for the money, gold because that's rich.
Now, if we look back at the first term, Trump reported more than $1.6 billion in outside revenue. His businesses received millions from foreign governments, including $5.5 million from China at Trump properties. The Secret Service was also reported to have paid above standard rates when staying at Trump-owned hotels during presidential travel.
Protection.
He did. He also earned millions through branded merchandise, including the Bibles, the watches, and even those sneakers. And hey, folks, if you're wondering how we're getting by with this, we shouldn't be, because in the Constitution, you have the emoluments clause.
Oh, and may I read that?
Yes, please.
May I
please,
read them?
Please.
The president shall, at stated times, receive for his services a compensation which shall neither be increased or diminished during the period for which he shall have been elected. And he shall not receive within that period any other emolument from the United States or any of them. So he is not supposed to be taking gifts.
Remember when he wasn't even going to be accepting? He didn't need it. He wasn't even going to be taking a salary as president of the United States.
he doesn't, it would be a pay cut from what he's raking in
right?
now.
Right? Yes. And so, I mean, here's the thing, though. If you voted for this, is for him, is this what you voted for? I mean, that's the question that I keep going back to, because if you're a Republican, you would have been so upset if Obama had done this, if Biden had done this, if any other Democrat
that
had been doing
matter.
This. I know.
There is only one person who can lead us. And you, China spent $5.5 million. You mean the China that he's always angry at and
yes.
putting tariffs on? They he made money.
Who's
going to
also
too?
Make that T-shirt with his face on it that says DJT, International Airport,
oh, sure.
right?
Yes. So all the tiny laborer fingers in China making his DJT merch. I saw those Bibles when I was covering the Republican convention, and I saw the size of the gift shops, and it was just
there's
was
a lot of merch. There's a there lot
is.
Of merch,
and like I don't understand this. And then for I don't know if you saw Megyn Kelly raging on that the Democrats are a cult, and I'm like, no, wait, a cult worships one leader who can never do anything wrong. Maybe look in the mirror, Megan, and the rest of the group.
Well, you'd think at some point they'd have to, but it sure hasn't worked up until this point. It's 6:48 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Let's turn our attention to state parks before those are taken away, too. We'll talk about that and more on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
6:52 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Some cooler temperatures around the state today. Some areas going to receive some snow as well. We said fake spring. That was the thing.
Yep.
My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Do you go to state parks in Wisconsin? If so, what ones would you recommend? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I think the national park system and the state park systems are two of the greatest things we have in this country because it does give us a link to the past and a true place to go and connect with nature. And the Wisconsin state parks saw almost 21 million visitors last year. That is good, and it's the highest since 2021. But Jamie, some state parks are not they're not being put to good use. Some are visited a lot. Not so much.
Yeah, and it's interesting because last year was the 125th anniversary of the Wisconsin State Park System. And visits actually increased from right around 20 million in 2024 to just over 20 million and just over 20 million in 2023, I should say. The system does include 50 state parks, 44 trails, and 15 state parks. Now, if you live in the southern portion of the state, you are probably very familiar with Devil's Lake State Park. Mm-hmm. It is actually the most visited state park in the state, around 2.3 million visitors annually. Now, we lived in Baraboo for a very long time. Devil's Lake State Park was a very important part of our summer rituals. I will say this, as beautiful as it is, as much as I love Devil's Lake State Park, you feel every bit of those 2.3 million visitors.
Oh, really?
It is really hard to do a lot at Devil's Lake during peak summer months. I personally, in the area, love Governor Dodge State Park, which is a little bit more of a drive. If you do a little hiking, there's a wonderful waterfall kind of buried deep down, which is absolutely exquisite and so awesome to hang out in. I also am a stickler for Muir Lake State Park. A lot less traffic, great hiking trails. If you love to kayak and camp, it's got some beautiful, beautiful scenery.
Really?
And let's be realistic, Ishnala, the supper club, is also in Muir Lake. So there you have it.
And we are not getting you're not getting a free dinner for that mention?
No, I am not. But
that is
you know, if you love a good supper club and you want an iconic one, just be prepared to wait because they don't take reservations and it's always very busy.
Grab about 8 old fashions and go sit by the lake and then you
curds.
Can really commune
yes.
with nature.
Yes, you absolutely can. They got a nice little beach there and everything. But that I actually love Muir Lake actually was about maybe 5 minute drive from our house. When we lived in the Dells, Baraboo, Reed Pittsburgh area. So I spent a lot of time hiking at Mirror Lake. Now, for the other most visited parks in the state of Wisconsin, behind Devil's Lake State Park, you have Kettle Moraine State Park, the southern unit, with just about 1.5 million visitors last year. Peninsula State Park, also fantastic, received just over 1 million visitors. And some others that made the list, High Cliff State Park, which is over near the Green Bay area, also absolutely beautiful. The Kohler Andre State Park and Rib Mountain, also some of our most visited last year. And then, Brian, of course, if you have your most visited, you have your least visited.
Yes.
Menominee River Recreation Area was the least visited last year with about 7,500 visitors. And some others to make the least visited list include Governor Knowles State Park, the Natural Bridge State Park, which is over by the North Freedom area. It's not a big state park, but it's a really cool if you love hiking. The scenery is beautiful, and so you definitely need to check it out if you're in that vicinity. And Buffalo River State Trail, also one of the least visited over the last year. So a lot of options.
It's funny, like Buffalo River and some of the others of the least visited, there seem to be more, they get a lot of their visitors in the fall. So that's when people are heading out to leaf peep.
Rib Mountain is fantastic for leaf peeping, by the way. Yes. Alicia chiming in on our YouTube chat this morning saying Hyde Cliff and Mirabelle Caves, which is a county park, are wonderful. Okay. Totally agree with both of those assessments. So, you know, there's plenty of opportunity all around the state, no matter really where you're at, to check out some really cool state parks. So please do so.
Yeah, and if you don't want to go to Baraboo and fight the crowds, there's plenty of other places to go.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Mark from Prairie du Sac on the phone this morning. Mark, what do you got for us?
Yeah, well, there's the park that I grew up with was Patterson State Park in far northern Wisconsin, south of Superior there.
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful park with the two with the waterfalls there, the Big Manitou Falls and Little Manitou Falls that
that
are on the river. That it's a great, I learned to swim in Interfalls Lake that where they had a little dammed up lake there, and it's just a beautiful park, and that's one of the older parks donated, I think, by one of the lumbermen he donated the territory by one of the lumbermen back in the day, and because you wanted, people to have a place to enjoy.
Yeah, thank you so much
for
the call this morning.
We'll have to put it on the list. Thank you, Mark.
That's one of the areas I want to get up to, is into that northern part to go see the falls and to really camp up there. We do our fair share of camping. I hike a lot.
Are you tent campers?
We are a pop-up tent camp, pop-up trailer camper. Yes, that's what we do, which is essentially like having a tent and not any less work than if you actually were tent camping.
I was going to say, it looks like it would be it's more work other than you're up off the ground.
Yes, that's essentially
the benefit.
That's essentially all it is. And you can close it up if the nights get cool. Now, if you're interested in visiting any of these exquisite state parks that we have to offer around the state, if you have a Wisconsin license, a 12-month pass is $28. A daily pass is $13.
Come on, that's dirt cheap.
It is, but if you're going to come from out of state, because I know we have some streamers in the out-of-state area, you can get a 12-month pass for $50 or a daily pass for $16. So, pretty reasonable, though, if you want to spend some time in Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be that time soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure over the last couple of days, people have thought, let's go out. And there's been some hiking going on the last couple of days.
Yes. Oh, I would love to be out on the trails right now. I always wait till it's a little less muddy, though. I don't like the mud. And the dog goes with me, so it's not worth the hassle.
Definitely.
It's 6:59 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And tariffs are hitting your favorite motorcycle company. We'll talk about that and more in the next hour on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.